Welcome back to another episode, in the final episode of season one. This is the Puzzle of Love podcast, and I'm your sucker for love host because I'm a hopeless romantic Dante with the gorgeous
Melina.
And we have another fantastic couple. We have Donnell and Lovey. Say hi to the Puzzle of Love listeners out there.
Hello.
And Puzzle of Love, we will explain it one last time, probably explain it every time because we're always picking up new listeners. Every relationship is different, right? Everyone has their different pieces to the puzzle that makes their relationship a full picture. And so we'll dive into a few of the pieces of Lovey and Donnell's puzzle. And there's really no better way to do that than by starting from the beginning. So we're going to go into their origin story with the game that has no name, but we've been calling it the 2-minute drill for the sake that each of you will get 1 minute to contribute to your origin story. One of you will go first, spend a minute telling us about your origin story, how you met, and as far into your love story as you possibly can. And when that minute is up, the second will pick up the story where it's left off. The only rule is that you cannot interrupt when it's not your turn. So you have 1 minute to freestyle this story however you see fit. Lovey, you won to determine the order. So will you start the story or will Donnell start the story and you pick up where he leaves off?
I'll start.
All right.
All right.
I'll count you down. Lena has the timer, so we'll be able to let you know when your minute is up.
Okay.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
All right. So we met in October of 1999. And, okay. So he had come to church. I had just started going to that church, Grace Faith Tabernacle. You're not supposed to talk. Grace Faith Tabernacle. And I had started going there, and then he came. He'd been gone. He came to church. He helped with offering. And during that time, I did not know who he was, but during that time, I heard clear as day, "This is your husband." And I was not looking for a husband at all. So I thought my mom said it. And so I turned around to her and I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she was like, "Shh, you're about to pray." And so I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And so I looked around and there's no one.
Uh-oh. Time.
Time. Time.
All right. So she walks in to church. I had been on a field exercise, maybe 30 days. I came to church and I'd never seen her before, but I saw her and I never seen Sister Vicky either. So they both came in and she was wearing a little Asian kind of outfit with some chopsticks in her hair. And as soon as I saw her, same thing happened to me. God told me, "This is your wife. This is going to be your wife." And it was just an amazing feeling, you know? So I wanted to know more about her, and Dee Dee knew Lovey and she kind of introduced us together. And so I went up to Dee Dee's house and Lovey was there and we met each other. We talked and kind of clicked from the beginning. And she was trying to leave, but she couldn't leave because she had a little red Sentra and she locked her keys inside the car. So I had to go outside.
Oh, time. All right, babe, I'm going to put it on you to recap the story.
Okay. So it sounds like you guys met at church, first time seeing each other, and you both heard from God that that was your husband, she was your wife, and you guys pretty much hit it off once you met. A friend introduced you together, and you guys start talking and dating. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got locked outside your car. We were going to get to that. So we'll let you go further into that. But yeah. Right?
Yeah. Right on. All right. So we were right at the moment where Lovey, quote unquote, accidentally locked her keys in the car.
I know.
And just to level set for the listeners out there, because names were dropped. So Sister Vicky is?
My mom.
Lovey's mom. And Dee Dee is?
She's like a,
she's
a long,
my sister.
Yeah, and a longtime family friend on my side of the family.
Absolutely.
I've known her since I was a little girl.
Gotcha. So there was a little bit of matchmaker being played, maybe inadvertently, maybe on purpose. But Lovey, you locked your keys in the car. It's a little damsel in distress.
Yeah, that's what that was.
The old damsel in distress act, huh?
Yeah, something like that.
She's
yeah.
testing my skills. So
I've seen if he was hood enough.
Yeah.
So. Seeing if he was hood.
He was hood enough. He had to break into my car.
I broke in and saved the day. And I got a number.
Oh, okay. But I mean, this, you know, there's always some firsts to the puzzle of love, and you know, testing whether or not someone could, you know, break into a vehicle is the first that I've ever heard of a way to get the digits. But especially after meeting at church, of all, it's kind of, you know,
right?
The balance to it.
Yeah.
But obviously 2 minutes is not long enough to tell the full story. So obviously we're going to fast forward a little bit, because now you guys are married with how many children?
Three kids.
All right. So there's a lot of meat on that bone to tell the story. So we'll rewind a little bit, and I want to give you your flowers collectively, because we are sitting down with a military family, a military couple. So Donnell, I want you to tell us what your former title was, because you're retired, not active anymore. And then after that, I want to be able to give you I'll just do it now. Thank you both for your service. I'll go into a little bit more on why it's both of you, but I want to give you the floor, Donnell, to kind of speak to your experience.
Okay. Well, thank you for recognizing that. I spent 27 years in the Army. I was 10 years in Army before I met Lovey. My rank when I retired was Master Sergeant / First Sergeant. A First Sergeant is someone who's in charge of an entire company, him and his commander. So it's not a position that everybody can get. So my last 5 assignments, I was a First Sergeant. Deployed to Iraq twice, spent the year. Both times I missed the birth of my daughter, Alani. She was born when I was in Iraq. And Deja was a year old when I first went to Iraq. So it was kind of tough, you know. And Eli, same thing. He was 8 weeks. But I was in the Signal Corps. I was in artillery for 4 years and I was in Signal Corps for 25 years. And I retired out of Fort Bragg, and we decided to come back here to Washington State to be near Lovey's family. That's about it.
Nothing else needs to be put on top. There's, you know, that the story sells itself, if you will. But I want to say again, thank you for your service to the both of you, because while Donnell, you were the one who enlisted into the military, everyone under that umbrella or under that family certainly sacrifices, right? And there's obviously stresses that, you know, civilian couples just don't necessarily have to deal with, right? You spoke to it already, like not necessarily being, you know, accessible to the birth of children is not necessarily the story, you know, for the typical household. So I kind of want to dive into that. Again, I know we're fast forwarding past, you know, Lovey purposely locking her keys in the car. But I want to talk about those, you know, those experiences, you know, with you being, you know, deployed out in Iraq. And I'll turn to you, Lovey, in this story, because you were back here, you know, holding down the fort, literally, you know, with the family. So talk through the experience of quite literally a long distance relationship.
Well, it wasn't easy. So when he left to Iraq the first time, we had a 1-year-old. And I was pregnant with our second child. And our oldest has always been strong-willed and likes to test waters and boundaries. And so she definitely did that even as a toddler. So dealing with that, plus, you know, being pregnant, dealing with just kind of navigating, you know, the world, as because I got married not really, I think, understanding the totality of military life and the sacrifices that military families make, and realizing that one day I would be kind of in the role of almost a single parent because my other half of my team was on the other side of the world someplace. And so while I knew that I had his support, you know, it was, we would, you know, be able to talk on the phone when we could. It was before internet was really what it is now, right? And so we would do like video chatting where there's like this delay. I say something, then you kind of wait and then it comes back, or typing, you know, messaging back and forth. And just getting used to having to do so many things on my own and be like that one person that did everything. And a lot of times I was like, this is not what I signed up for, you know, getting married, because you go into a marriage and you're thinking like, we're a team, we're a union together. And that's how you think you are going to be, is just together in the physical, right? Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the case for, I say, for Deja and Lonnie for the first, probably like the first 7 years of their life. He was gone for more than half of that. For 7-8 years, he was gone for more than half of that time combined. And then we threw, you know, another kid in the mix. And not only that, but, you know, move across the country. And so having three kids now, and then him leaving again for a year and a half, when he came back, Eli was going on 2 years old. And he left when Eli was 6-8 weeks old. So it's just, it was definitely challenging. It was definitely, you know, when they say like, it takes a village, I definitely appreciate my village. Thank you. Because, you know, there's times that you just, I needed that break. You know, I'm just, it's just me with three kids, little kids, like the oldest one was 5. I think usually was 5. When you left. So 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, a newborn, and navigating a move across the country, you know, by myself and getting all just a bunch of stuff. So it's definitely not for the faint of heart. You have to have some thick skin. You have to be able to, you know, problem solve, and really not be too into yourself to be like, hey, do you want to take the kids? This, you know, to ask somebody like for help. But I don't know. And another thing that made it hard, I think, was I got so used to doing so many things on my own that when he came home, it was an adjustment, because I was just like, I'll do it. I'll just do it. I'll take it. I'll do it myself. Instead of realizing that now he's back and we are that team, we are that partnership, and to be able to, you know, work that way, to be able to, you know, shift some of the things over to him. That part was hard for me, because I am like, I'll just do it. That's the kind of person I am. So,
yeah. Now, how did the kids, how did they, when he would come back, how did they do with him coming back, and now it's like a two parent. I mean, obviously he's, they know that he's a parent, they know that he has the authority, but he's not there. Sometimes kids, you know, kind of out of sight, out of mind, and they don't really have to, it's like the one person. So how did they take to when dad came back home?
They did pretty good, actually. Yeah. They did pretty well.
They were ready for me to be there.
Yeah. I think our biggest pushback was our oldest. But that wasn't me. Like, that's just her.
I feel like when I came back, I was just that missing piece, you know, when I came back, and it kind of just fell into pieces and fell into place. So they just welcomed me coming back to the home, and yeah. it was kind of seamless with the kids. Eli took to me like he does now, like he's always with me, he's always up under me. So
Lonnie,
it was not a hard adjustment.
Under.
Lonnie was my,
sleep
was my
outside
girl.
Our door. She used to sleep outside our door on the floor.
Yeah.
She would leave her bed, come into the hallway, get her blanket, and sleep. We had our door closed and sleep right outside on the floor. You open the door and trip over a kid.
Yeah.
They were like, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think because you had been gone, you feel like that's why they did that?
Because they didn't do it with me just being home. Like when it was just me at the house, they slept in their own beds. They, you know, I think except Eli, he slept with me, which was fun getting him to move into his own bed. But he had it. He never slept in it except for naps. And when he was gone, the girls just slept in their own rooms, in their own beds. They didn't do any, you know, try to come and sleep with me or try to, but when he came back, you know, they were, I think, because they were able to see him the second time, they were able to see him on video more, and they were able to, you know, technology was a little better, so they were able to see him a little bit more and talk to him more. I think that they really still had a real strong connection. When he was gone the first time, like I said, video wasn't really good at all. It was mostly chatty. And one particular incident, I took Deja, they had set up like this event where families could come and video chat,
tele video,
some similar to this basically, at a location on the military base. So I took Deja, and Lonnie was born by then. She was just a baby, probably about, I don't know, 2 months old. She was really little. But Deja started talking very, 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 very early and never, ever stopped. And ever. And so Deja was very articulate, and she was only a year and a half old. And I took her to go do this video, and she saw Donnell on the screen, and the screen was this huge, big screen on the wall. And we're sitting at the end of like a long conference table talking to him. And she saw Donnell pop up on the screen. This girl jumped up on the table and was trying to crawl over to the screen to get her dad. And she was like, I want my daddy. And she was talking to him and telling him, you know, all this, whatever's happening in her life and all the things that she did. And she found a rock and, you know, cool stuff or whatever. And then after that, it was so hard because we only had like 10 minutes or something like that. It was really short. And for a 1-year-old, for a toddler, she's not understanding that. And she doesn't understand why she can't have her dad. And that part was hard for me, sorry.
Yeah.
And I think we spent about an hour in the parking lot, me, Deja, Lonnie in the parking lot, like trying to get her to calm down and let her know, like, we'll see daddy again. And but she was just like, I want my daddy. I want my daddy. Where's my daddy? Where'd my daddy go? And they gave her a picture. And she just held on to that little picture. I put it in a little frame for her. And that was like her little grainy black and white picture of Donnell. It was a picture that they took from the video during the shoot. So it was during that. But yeah, it was just, oh.
And there wasn't no HD back then.
I was gonna say,
Donnell, on your end, right? You're on literally on the other side of the world. You know, that 10 minutes is completely different 10 minutes for you, time zone difference wise, and all of that. But like literally, you're in a situation where you have to be on pretty much 24/7. So kind of talk to us about the balance of, you know, mentally staying focused and also having, you know, for lack of a better descriptor, your heart back at home.
Yeah, it was hard. You know, Deja was a baby when I left. So, you know, I kind of cried, get on the airplane going to Iraq. you know, but I think because we're rooted in faith, you know, we believe in God, we met in the church, that helped me tremendously, you know. And it's tough times like that when you want to talk to your kid, you want to see your kid, you want to talk to your wife, and you just can't, and you don't know if you're going to make it the next day, you know, you don't know if you're going to get blown up or shot. And so I'm worrying about how they would take that, you know, you know, it's just a lot to think about. So you have to kind of trust in God, you know. I believe that He's going to pull me through, and if not, that's Your will. So I didn't really stress about it a lot, but I cherished every moment that I had, you know, when I could talk to my wife and could talk to Deja. And you can't think about it too much because it would just, you can't function like that. Mm-hmm. And I was a leader. I was a platoon sergeant the first time, so I had all my men behind me, so I got to keep them uplifted, you know, and keep them in good spirits and be motivation for them. So they can't see me breaking down, but there are a lot of times when I wanted to, you know, but that's when you go to your knees and you talk to God. And that's, if I didn't have that, you know, I don't know where I would be.
Yeah. He was supposed to come back for Lonnie's birth.
Me being a leader, they wouldn't let me go. They let, you know,
let someone else go.
The young troops go first. Yeah. So regardless, you know, they just got in country. They still can go back because they are the younger ones. And I was a leader, so I could not go back for Lonnie's birth. And that hurt, you know.
That's sort of like the opposite of seniority, right? Like most jobs, the senior dog is the one who's like, no, I get first dibs.
Not Army. So just eat first. They get, you know, you leave from
the front. It's like your kids.
You leave from the front, but you also leave from the back also. You let them go first. If it was my choice, I would have went home to the birth.
I hope so.
Yeah, right. It wasn't my choice. So, but I had God. I had a few brothers, who were Christians also. So we attended church in Iraq together. So we kind of uplifted each other. I even had, you know, Richardson. He was there with me in Iraq, and Hines. Mm-hmm. And Richardson's my, how do I describe him? Like, he was a brother in church. He went to the same church that we did, also MGM. And I fell under his platoon when I first met him. But when I went to Iraq, I had my own platoon, and he was there with me. So we would attend church together, you know, read the Bible, and kept each other lifted. You know, God knew what He was doing when he sent us to Iraq.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, on the flip side of the experience and stress that military life can have, it also can afford you opportunities that most civilians don't necessarily take. So let's kind of talk about those opportunities where you picked up the entire family and lived abroad. Like, that's an amazing story. So
yeah, first time, actually before we even had a family, we were married for less than a year. I got orders to go to Korea, and
I wasn't gonna go. I was,
and this one wasn't trying, she wasn't trying to hear it.
I was not trying to go.
So I felt a certain kind of way because, you know, being married, I felt like if I get orders to go tomorrow, you need to be, you know, ready to go. And this one, she wasn't trying to hear.
I wasn't feeling the same way. So
I was a little hurt. I was a little hurt about that.
But through prayer, just talking to God, so I went. And actually, I'm just so thankful that I did, because it was one of the best experiences. And I taught while I was over there, third, fourth, and fifth grade students and middle school students, and he worked, and we didn't have kids, so I had time to explore, and which I love to do, and just see what the culture was like there and how the kids were really expected to show respect and like to honor their families and their loved ones. And we were like, if we ever get a chance, we want to take our kids over there. You know, when we have kids, we want to take them over there. And so we had the opportunity. We had opportunity of Hawaii or Korea, and we chose Korea. And we packed them all up.
So
and
the second time, what year was that? Second time?
2012.
How old were the kids?
I think Deja was seven or eight.
Eight,
Eli was Eli had just turned four, like just a couple days before we flew to Korea, he turned four.
Okay.
And
got orders, went to Korea, like
8 or 9
and brought the family with me, and it was tough at first. We had a nice apartment.
Nice.
You know, I found a nice apartment in a nice place where there was a lot of stuff going on. And so I'd be good on that one. But it was tough. It was a tough assignment for me because my leadership.
His world was just, way different than my role.
So,
there.
It was the worst deployment, the worst unit I've ever been in, just because the leaders were very toxic. People there were just, they treated Korea like you're single for a year. So the people who didn't come there with their spouses, they're just doing all kinds of stuff. You know, my leaders were doing
always
kinds of stuff with his soldiers. So it just didn't sit right in my spirit being there. And eventually the two main leaders who were like the worst ones there, they ended up getting sent to, you know, other places, and we got new leaders in, and we moved to a different location in Korea. And I really enjoyed it then. You know, I really enjoyed my time there. The kids, they enjoyed their time there. They learned Korean. We felt safe with them being in Korea. They could go places without us. We would let them go, you know, down the street
to the bouncy house,
a couple blocks away, you know, at night,
where,
to a bouncy house.
Yeah, well, living and, here, like, you were playing in the front yard. I was out there too. Yeah. Like, it wasn't, it was just so different.
The Korean people will watch your kids. They just watch them just because.
It was,
you know,
it was
kids
definitely
around. You'd have to ask them.
Yeah. It was a community village thing.
Yeah, so.
Everyone listened, like the old ladies were everyone's grandmothers.
Yeah.
The old men, you just listen to them. Or they would like get a little switch and like, and like swing at you.
The old ladies are called Ajimas, and the men are Arishi.
But yeah, we enjoyed it.
Yeah,
and we had
a good time.
From
good
living time. There, we were able to visit other places. So we were able to take the kids to so many. I think they've been to like 16 or 17 countries.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were able to take them to Japan and take them to Philippines and just different stuff. And where, you know, being here, coming from here, it probably wouldn't have been feasible because it's so expensive, right? But from there, it wasn't as expensive. So just different things.
The culture, exposed them to the culture was really good for them. And so I think that has affected their attitudes and the way they talk to people, how they act towards adults, because they learned that from being kids, you know, that you respect the elders. You know, most of the time. Mostly. Yeah, they're good kids.
And then
absolutely.
We moved to Germany. And I didn't care for Germany that much, to be honest with you. He liked it.
Germany was okay.
I liked the ability to travel because I just like to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, because they have the open borders in Europe, we were able to go to different countries very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took the kids, you know, with us everywhere. But I like Korea then.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
It was just a good adventure. I liked it because, you know, the kids could see different things other than Korea and Hawaii and United States. They saw Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Paris,
France, Italy,
you know,
Spain,
Leaning Tower of Pisa, you know, things they would never see any other way. So.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, and I think this is a great time to take a quick break. In case any of our listeners want to pause and start booking flights and travel to try to catch up with Lovey and Donnell. You guys are stamping passports like crazy and stunting on us at the same time. So if you're like me, you probably want to pick up your self-esteem. And there's no better way to do that than through some music. And whether you know it or not, you guys pick the sequence music. Donnell, you picked the classic. We're going to listen to a little bit of Luther. I can't remember if this is Big Luther or Little Luther, but it's
great.
He was
Medium Luther.
Medium Luther?
Okay. Luther, yeah.
All right. So everybody listen to some Medium Luther. Is Take You Out by Luther Vandross.
Yeah. surprise, I must say, cause I never had seen such a pretty face with such a warm and beautiful smile. It wasn't hard for me to notice her style. I was fascinated, surely. She took my heart and held it for me. I wouldn't let her get away, not until she heard me say,
excuse me, miss, yeah. What's your name? Where are you from? Can I come and possibly
can I take you out tonight?
Okay, y'all, so we're going to dig into your attributes. Both of you listed your attributes, and I'll read them off to you guys. So Donnell, yours was loyalty, intimacy, and trust. And so Levy, those three, does any of those surprise you? Is it pretty like, of course that's what that is. What
No surprises. Like that's, yeah.
Okay. And so Levy, yours was honesty, trust, and quality time. Is that pretty much Levy?
That's Levy, especially quality time. She likes to do things, you know, together with the family and make memories. She places that above a lot of things.
What would you attribute as like prime quality time? Like if you could define it in an activity or maybe an event, how would you define quality time?
You're asking for me or her?
Either one. Matter of fact, I'll put you on the spot, D, since it's her attribute. What would you plan?
It's probably similar to hers. Probably going somewhere where we haven't been before, doing something that we haven't done, or we could even go to like a nice place where there's water, where there's shops, walk around and see things and have our family with us and just be together, experiencing that together. That's a good day for us.
For me, so quality time is just having the time, like I just like being together. So it doesn't have to be anything super expensive or expensive at all, right? Just going and I like to explore. So going and, I don't know, getting on a ferry and going over to Camino Island or going over to Bainbridge or something, just exploring and
being together.
And being together, yeah. And I feel like when it's just, when all of the other things, like we like going to the movies and going to get something to eat, things like that. But those are more, they're not necessarily what I would consider quality time, because you go to the movies, you sit there, you're quiet and you watch a movie. You're not really interacting. You're not really laughing or talking or sharing whatever your thoughts are or anything like that. Whereas when you're, I feel like you leave some of the noise making things kind of behind and just get a chance to just really enjoy the time that you have with each other. So it doesn't really matter what it is. I absolutely love the beach, but it has to be hot. And exploring, and like we can go on a picnic, we can play, it doesn't matter to me. We can paint, we can.
It's making memories.
Making memories. Yeah.
I like that. Now I'm gonna flip the question, because intimacy was one of your top attributes, Donnell. So, Lovey, what would intimacy look like in the eyes of Donnell? See if you can, if we're putting you to the test.
What ears are listening?
PJ or Rios?
Hey, listen, if there's any kids listening to this podcast, then that's on the problem of the parent.
No.
We know you've been deployed a couple of times, Donnell, but in between you seem to come back with a new child, so we know.
Donnell's a very touchy person. He likes to be touched. He likes to have that physical touch aspect. And I don't think it's nothing that's as far as like romantic kind of stuff, but just really just having the quiet time together. Sometimes we'll go and sit in the front living room and it'll be quiet and we'll just watch something on the laptop, but it's just us and it's that time like where we are, you know, just kind of hanging out and chilling with each other. Other times he, but just, you know, really just he really thrives on the touch aspect and just knowing that my focus is on him. And the look at his face. and yeah, it's not anything that that has to be. It's just really about like focus on him. He, you know, giving, making sure that he understands the importance of who he is to me, and yeah, I don't think it's. He absolutely, you know, loves husband and wife time, but I don't know. He just being able to touch and connect and yeah, that's probably what would you say? Am I? No, am I on it?
Yeah, you're on it. You're on it pretty much.
Is there anything that you would add to what she said, Donnell?
Yeah, what would you add?
So. We used to go to bed and breakfasts a lot. So those moments were really like really good moments for us because it was just me and her and we're doing the things we both like to do and we're in nice places and we kind of focused just on each other. And so, I don't know.
We still do occasionally get away.
But when we get away, just me and her to like a bed and breakfast, that would be like the best for me, something like that.
The focus is here, right? So
was it more bed or more no, but we came out for those watching, you're picking up what we're putting down. Sorry if you're streaming, you didn't see the gestures, but we came out of break with them stunting on us and we come right back and now they're stunting with bed and breakfasts. that's amazing. And one of the cool things about that question in the survey, which, you know, lists several different attributes on, you know, what makes a healthy relationship, what makes a great relationship, you can't go wrong with picking any of the answers, but it's really a good indicator to see what, you know, your spouse or your partner really prioritizes. It may be something that you know, it's not a shocker. Like when you hear it, it's like, yeah, that's par for the course, but it's also a good reminder of things that you can do that intertwine with the love languages that we're used to hearing about or seeing or, you know, actually demonstrating with one another. Love, you referenced, you know, touch being one of, you know, Donnell's, and then quality time, which while it's an attribute, it's also a love language. And so I think that was really, really cool to hear about, because again, every relationship's different. So what communication looks like between two couples is going to be different and how they express that. And it's really good nuggets, good jewels. Hopefully somebody's writing some notes down or Googling bed and breakfasts in their near town so that they can do those little getaways. We should do some more bread and breakfasts.
Our first one was actually
for Reyes.
And we went back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we went back. It's been a long time since we've been, but we went back. We love that bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
If you guys missed the name, rewind it or don't and We'll try to get some marketing dollars out of them. But we're going to take another quick break because we have a really fun, silly segment that we're going to come back to, which will probably allow Lovey to go a little bit beyond PG or PG-13. Perhaps, maybe, we don't know. But we'll go into some more music, and Lovey, you picked this song. Again, another great classic. It's Casey and JoJo, All My Life, which is going to be really hard to figure out where to transition us back in because we don't play whole songs. But how do you cut that song short? It's so amazing. So Casey and JoJo, All My Life, and then we'll be back on the other side.
All right, fun question. First question we'll ask is, what's something your partner does that you wish they can do 24/7?
Yes, or no, person.
Something that my partner does that I wish they could do 24/7?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You answer it. See, it's hard.
That's hard, man.
I know you look like you had an answer.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah,
right? He had an answer. Yeah, he
just I'm trying to stay PG, it. Man.
Because my shirt says teach.
She does this thing with tongue when we kiss. I'm just kidding. Can we come back to that one?
I don't know. It's something you could do 24/7. I don't know if there's anything I would want to do 24/7. No, because okay, so I like when he smokes me out on the smoker.
I thought
no, the smoker that's outside. Because it's really, really good. But I wouldn't want that 24/7. Or give me a massage, but I wouldn't want that 24/7. So I don't know if there's anything that I want him to do 24/7.
Yeah. I don't have anything.
And I'm not a clingy person, so I'd be like, back up. Yeah.
I really like when he smokes. You picked the wrong time to pop up.
No, it took you a while to get the rest of that out.
All right, so we won't rack your brain. We'll allow you to think about it. You might come up with something. But the next question, you guys are going to wake up tomorrow as a fictional couple, but you get to pick which couple you wake up as, and it doesn't have to be the same. Donnell, who would you pick? Lovey, who would you pick to be a fictional couple?
I'll say Will and Jada.
Will and Jada are celebrity couples.
Okay.
Fictional. So fictional would be like Marge and Homer Simpson, Martin and Gina, Cliff and Claire Huxtable. Fictional.
I would go with. I like Martin and Gina. Let you say that. I like Martin and Gina.
Um. Dang, I don't know. I don't know. I used to live in the CD for a little while. I'd probably say, and I was, you know, by Rainier Beach. I'd probably say Cookie Lion and what's the husband's name? What's Terrence Howard's name?
Lucius? Lucius Lion? I forgot about
that couple. Cookie and Lucius. Cookie and Lucius Lion.
I forgot about that couple. Okay. I totally forgot.
Cookie and Lucius.
I like that one too.
Okay. Am I right? Another puzzle of love first?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
all right.
So, I, like, before she went to jail or, like, after?
No, after she, like, you know, after jail, but where she was like more focused on the, heck yeah, way after. Like, when she's focused on, like, the label and, you know, she, the, you know.
And they're, like, kind of together, but they're.
Yeah.
I don't know about that part, but they were a power, they're kind of a power couple in the eyes of the music industry, right? Yeah. So, I'm not talking about like beating people up and like, you know, people disappearing.
But
and
you gotta
stuff
be
like
all
that
of them though. You can't just be parts of them.
You can't just be parts of them. This is who you are.
You are a Cookie Lion. And he is Lucius.
You're taking on the
you
whole
three kids.
Yeah.
Or how many kids they got? They got three, right?
Yeah,
three boys. So
this is funny. Drip. I know I don't look like Lucius Lion, but I've been told that like by four different people.
A lot of people say that. Well, yeah, several what? People
I'm
have
not,
said
I'm not gonna say, I'm not gonna
they
say
have said that
people.
He looks like
Terrence Howard.
I don't see it either.
Maybe if you squint.
Well, you guys said if you squint.
My hair grows out.
You just
out
look
a little
to
bit.
The side.
With your cat eye.
With your cat eye. Yeah.
The people who say this are.
They probably don't see Terrence Howard that often.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Okay.
But it's been like three times.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys are Cookie and
I guess so. Yeah. I just be kicking down doors
and
stuff.
We can be Martin and Gina. There would be.
And then you'd be Martin and Gina. Okay.
I like that.
All right. Yeah.
Next question, cool. Babe. Or you want me to? Okay. This one's controversial. Okay. You guys have to settle a debate. Every couple has been asked this question. Or you got to pick one. Grits. Is it butter and sugar or salt and pepper?
Oh, that's not controversial.
Salt and pepper. Butter, salt, and pepper. That's it.
Keep the sugar way away from the grits.
Butter, salt, and pepper.
And I see the way you're looking, Colina. You're wrong. Dead wrong.
You're looking in disbelief. It's butter, salt, and pepper.
Don't put no sugar on the grits.
That's what it is.
So everyone who's streaming on YouTube, who's watching this, you guys see that? That's the final score. We were gonna utilize this entire season to figure out which one wins out. You see the final score. I already told you it wouldn't have mattered what the answer would have been. Butter and sugar would have took the L. We just ran the score up. We didn't even dribble out the clock. We scored at the buzzer because sugar doesn't belong on grits.
It doesn't at all.
Oatmeal.
So stop
that's
it.
For oatmeal.
Stop it.
Say it again, Lovey.
It does.
That's for oatmeal.
For oatmeal.
No.
Only. Yeah.
Shout out to Rosa. She called it baby food when you put.
It is.
No, it's not. Don't.
Gerber. I told you I was calling it Gerber from now on.
Yep. That's, yep.
Nobody
all right, Puzzle of Love listeners, we're putting that question officially to bed. We're going to replace it with a new question for season two. Let us know in the comments if you take the L with Quilina and put sugar in your grits, or if you're on the winning squad with me. No. Butter, salt, and pepper.
That sounds supposed to be.
Yep.
It's supposed to be.
Bland.
It's not bland. Do you know you only need a little bit of salt?
It's bland with some sugar. What in the world?
Have you guys had it before?
Who wants to?
No, see, you haven't had it before. You can't.
I have. You know what? I have. I've given it to my kids when they were about 12 months old.
And they spit it out.
They liked it because it was sugar. Like, yeah, for kids.
They should.
Like, for kids, because kids like to eat sugar. And so I gave it to them as babies, as toddlers. And then they turned two, and they got salt and pepper and butter.
And never went back to
and
sugar.
And that's how they eat it.
It's just good. Like,
it's not, but it's okay.
She eats her rice that way too, just to put her on blast.
My brother does that, and he does rice with
sugar. I can see
rice
sugar sometimes.
Oh,
my grits. Never.
The only sweet rice I'm eating is like rice pudding or something.
That's like a version of it.
No, but how often do I eat it? I can count on one hand how many times I've eaten it in my whole life.
It tastes okay. I don't do it, but I've done it before.
Yeah, how old are you, Lovey? No, I'm joking.
He was in the military. He ate everything.
I'm country, so we live in the country.
So in the country, they eat salt and pepper.
Oh, what, grits?
Yes.
Yeah. I would have got my butt whooped if I put some sugar on the grits. Oh yeah, smack upside my head. Messing the grits up.
Perfectly. All right, let's move on. You're gonna ruin the grits with some sugar. All right, I'll stop picking on it. I'm being a bully. I'll stop. All right, you guys have to pick another one. We're going to give you three choices this time. You have to pick one. You have to pick one. People have been making up their own version. You have to pick one.
Okay.
A quickie every day. B, good sex twice a week. Or C, amazing sex once a week.
We got to get a couple of consensus.
I'm okay
on that.
No, you don't. You can have two different
answers.
Yeah,
have two.
I'm okay with B.
All right, so a little bit of a discrepancy. Not there, again, there's no wrong answers, but what would motivate your pick of B over the other two?
Well, you know, a quickie is just a quickie trying to get you release some stress. It don't have to necessarily be good, you know, so yeah. It doesn't have you wanting to come back for more. B, you know, at least it's twice a week and it's good. Yeah. Once a week,
well, I'm for quality.
Might want, and good is quality.
No, amazing. Amazing is quality, right? You go to a restaurant and you order this meal, this expensive, exquisite meal, and you want it to be good, or do you want it to be amazing?
If I can go to a restaurant twice,
no,
it can be good twice in a week.
I'd rather have amazing.
Okay.
There,
what,
again,
about you? What about you guys? What about you?
There's no right. We're the ones interviewing, like, no. So I want to break my own rule because I'm kind of in between
A, B, or C.
I know,
pick
but
one.
My preference is somewhere. But I honestly, I think realistically, it would be C for similar reasons that Levy said. And I honestly think because the way I'm thinking of it is that if I pick one, I'm guaranteed to get that. So if you're guaranteeing me that it's going to be amazing, like, I might actually need a whole week just to recover. Like,
you need
I don't,
a whole week to recover?
And to think
week?
About it.
Right.
And anticipate that buildup
for the next week. I might need to spend another 6 days in basic training getting prepared for what I'm about
really,
to endure.
Really, really amazing. He said amazing, not really, really amazing. You need a whole week. That's really, really amazing.
That's amazing.
I can have amazing.
Yeah, I would do. See,
I would do amazing every day.
I'll be C.
But see, what my ultimate preference would be is to have C at least three times a week.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I think, you know, essentially every other day, and it's just we're hitting home runs, knocking it out of the park. Like, don't get me wrong. Good is good. And I'm a guy, so I don't think that there's really ever bad, but. And for the record, quickies could be good or amazing. They could be. But the obligation of every day, like,
yeah.
Like I got stuff that I got to do. Like, I understand it's only 5 minutes, but where am I going to fit this into my schedule every day? Like,
that would be.
Yeah, that's why I didn't choose A, but B.
Yeah, I mean, I think B or C could work, but
let's pick one of B.
Yeah.
All right, babe. We're staying on this subject matter with this last one.
So you're trying to let your partner know you're in the mood with music. What do you play?
What's the name of Case's song? Or her song? By Case.
Happily Ever After by
Happily
Case.
Ever After. I will play that. Or Luther. I'll fall back on Luther.
The CD that was played.
Yep.
Constant.
Medium Luther.
The medium.
Medium. But probably have Peppier after that one.
What would I play?
Trina.
Oh my gosh.
What did you say?
Trina.
I would not play that.
Is your no name?
No, I like
she likes John B.
I do like John B, but I wouldn't play that. I would play I'd probably play Kelly Rowland. Either Motivation or Kisses Down Low.
Very good choice.
I like those songs.
Long as your face. You said it.
Colina's taking notes to add to her playlist.
I've never heard. I'm not taking
notes. You haven't? What?
I don't know if I've ever heard that song. Those songs.
Both of those?
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever heard them.
Don't.
I don't really listen to Kelly Rowland, I guess.
I like Kelly Rowland.
Yeah,
she doesn't have very much. I don't know if she has stuff recent, but
stuff she puts out is it.
But maybe I've heard it. I just didn't know it was her. Like, maybe it. You know.
But yeah, Motivation and Kisses.
So Donnell, if you hear Motivation just happen to be playing,
I'm making a mail note, man. I got it.
Yeah, just stop whatever you do. Just drop the tools. I know you're smoking meat out in the backyard. Turn the smoker off. That is the bat signal.
Stop smoking. I got you, honey.
Well, thank you guys for carving out some time with us. We certainly do appreciate it. Again, you guys dropped some really good nuggets, I think, in my opinion. I think I'm going to come out of this session a little bit better equipped to be intentional with my quality time with my spouse and plan a lot of trips. We got to catch up to you guys on this passport stamping. Thank you guys for carving out the time. Certainly do appreciate it. For all of our listeners out there, if you're watching already but haven't done so, please smash that like button and hit the subscribe and the little notification bell so that you can be notified whenever the Puzzle of Love drops new content. Of course, you can follow us on all social medias. Well, technically not all, because I think we're a little old for TikTok and Snapchat, but we are on Facebook, we are on Twitter, and we are on Instagram. You can stream us through any of the major streaming sites, wherever you listen to music and podcasts, you can be able to find us. Feel free to drop a comment, rate us, talk to us, we'll talk back. Want to email us directly for questions offline or whatever the case may be, feel free. All that information is below. I am your host, your sucker for love host, because I'm a hopeless romantic Dante with the lovely Colina. Till next time. We're taking a 2-week break, you guys. 2 weeks. This is the season finale, and we'll be back with season 2 with more wonderful couples and great stories to share. Take care. Peace.
Thank you.